Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Conversations About Light. I'm your host, Caleb, and I'm joined here today on this sunny day here in Perth with Josh and Mark.
Hello.
G'day, Caleb.
How are we going? Josh, you're...
Powerful, thank you.
Yeah, you're fresh off the plane from India.
Yes.
I'm sure so many people would love to hear how your time was, any highlights, any challenges, any crazy food stories. Yeah. I know you had a...
Yes. I think the challenges were all personal and internal, spiritually and physically. But the time was awesome, really, with the Resound family of churches. And just the relational part I was saying to Mark before was just wonderful. We're in Goa. The content was mostly around prayer, and there's lots of time to pray for each other and pray together, walk on the beach, pray some more, go out for dinner, pray. It was just wonderful. So really, really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Had a great time. We went to Taj Mahal. That was pretty nice as well.
Very cool. Did you have to take your shoes off?
No, they give you some giant blue sock thing that you put over your shoes.
And
you can walk in like that. But it's incredible, really. We had a tour guide who it really explained the story behind it, but also the construction process. It's mind-boggling. If you're in construction,
yeah.
I highly recommend going there and you'll be in awe.
How old is it?
1650-something, I think they finished the building works.
Wow.
It's been around a while, yeah.
How long did it take?
22 years to build
goodness.
It.
That's it.
Yeah, which is part of the reason it's so amazing.
And some houses in Perth are taking that long to build, but they don't look as good.
Some people's back fences are taking that long.
One thing I do want to ask yourself, Josh, you're off the hook, Mark, until next episode.
Come on. Didn't I just say something?
No. It's more if there's one bit of encouragement that you'd want to bring from the Resound conference or time spent together and bring it into King's Cross community, what would that be?
I always find that getting outside of your own context lifts your head in some way. So just being with other churches, being with those people who have maybe a slightly different story to you but a similar heart is always just super encouraging. It just shifts something in your heart, in your walk with God. And every time I sort of get out, I always experience that. You know, you feel encouraged, blessed by just seeing what God is doing in other places. So my encouragement would be get amongst it. Yeah. If there's another opportunity to go somewhere, or if we have guys here, yeah, just get amongst it.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be many more opportunities. Mm. Cool. Well, we're in the series of Standing Firm, and today we're reading from Ephesians 6:16. Mark, do you want to take us away?
Sure, just verse 16.
If you feel more or less to give context, then go for it.
I'll read verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one.
Great. So, is there anything immediately standing out other than the shield of faith stands out to me? You can't both point at each other.
Yeah, I love, obviously it's been a great series we're in. The shield of faith, I always get that picture of, I think it's from the Obelix and Asterix cartoons, you know, they're kind of God of Romans with all their shields above and below and all around them. So I love that picture, the shield of faith, not the tiny little, round circular ones. So I really kind of, that image always comes to mind. The other question we could definitely talk about is you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. What is that? You know. Yeah. So I guess two questions arrive: like what is a shield of faith, or what does it mean, and then maybe what are darts and what are flaming darts? That sounds even worse.
Yeah.
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 So those are the two
two
ticket items I see when I read this verse. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Makes me think of there's this YouTuber who does Kevlar versus the world, or Kevlar sling versus the world.
Huh.
And he builds a Roman shield the way it would have been built, with wood and canvas, and he doesn't put over the leather skin. But basically, I mean, he builds a poor version of a Roman shield and then takes a Kevlar sling and just tries to pound the thing. And it's actually quite impressive. In other words, you could be killed by these pebbles getting flung at you. But this thing is it holds them back pretty good.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
You mentioned a leather skin over the shield. I don't have any understanding of Roman shields. Do you know how they're constructed, or do you want to?
Yeah, DIY Roman shields. So my understanding, two or three pieces of wood are glued together to form the shield that's 4 feet high, about 2.5 feet wide. So it's called, the Greek word there means door.
Right.
So the shield is a door, or it's where it's that shape. It's the shape of a door. And then it's glued together. Then over that is put a blank canvas to kind of keep it all together. On top of that is put a piece of animal skin. I think it's wool or something. Maybe it's not wool. That sounds a little silly. But an animal calf skin, that's what it is. A calf skin's put over it. And then there's a metal piece at the top and a metal piece at the bottom, so the wood can't split.
Right.
And then a thing it's called a boss, I think. There's a boss in the middle of the shield, which is that kind of bronze thing that just kind of, it's where your hand goes as well, but it also just kind of makes everything dart off of the shield. Nothing can really stick at the center. And then with flaming darts, for example, I think before they'd go into battle, they would wet the calf skin. So when Paul talks about extinguishing the flaming darts.
Yeah, I had that question.
So yeah.
That's what it's got to do with.
Yeah, because you can imagine if there's flaming darts coming at you and you've got a wooden shield. Like, there'd be a bit of panic, right? So I mean, we need to answer Josh's question of what are the flaming darts, but whatever they are, they're supposed to cause some kind of discomfort and panic in the person. And yet Paul goes, no, the shield of faith, you know, dipped in water, it can extinguish those darts. So they might land, they may still come, and they may still land, but the shield will extinguish them. Wow. Put them out. You got nothing to worry. You don't panic.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's really helpful. Super helpful. I didn't realize the shields were so big as well. Yeah. So I can imagine they'd be fairly heavy to carry.
Yeah.
For me, not for Josh. So
I'm not sure where you're going. That is the burden heavy? Is that what?
No. I was just,
they're solid.
Yeah, they're solid. I was just. Picture, I didn't realize that's how big they were, and obviously,
yeah, like almost door body size, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's small. Your boy's almost 4 feet tall, but covering all your organs, right? I mean, it's just from the neck down past your waist, so maybe your feet are popping out, but yeah.
Well, for our listeners who are a bit shorter than Mark and Josh, it covers a bit more than your organs. So what does, in terms of what you've just explained, Mark, Josh, what do you think that means with the gospel, like the flaming darts being extinguished by the shield of faith?
I think I love how this is a picture. As we know, as we've been talking about, a picture of battle, right? So we're in the midst of some kind of fight, and Paul's giving us various things which are helpful to stand. Like, when the battle's over, do you want to be standing or died, finished? And so obviously standing, and that's the kind of all these aspects. So when I think of the shield of faith, it's this, something that is beautifully designed to help me stand, to help me resist, you know. I think of James, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's kind of this picture of this shield of faith. And I guess what is it? I mean, faith is simply a trust in God, is believing God, you know. And how does that work practically? I think it just means we've learned truth, we've put on righteousness, you know, but we also have to trust God. You might be acting righteously and things go from, you know, not so good, but we can keep trusting God. And so I guess the part of the shield is preparing us for war is being we trust in God in all things. I think that's what faith to me, a shield of faith is like. And you know, when you don't trust God, that's when you normally come unstuck. You know, that's when kind of your defenses are down. Oh, I think I don't really need to inquire of God or trust in God in this. I've got some good ideas. And then that's normally when we're vulnerable, right? So I think faith is just a trust in God.
Yeah, I like that picture of if you put your guard down.
Mm.
I mean, can you imagine like flaming darts coming without a shield? You'd be destroyed, right? So the same. I like what it's saying is that Paul's saying it's not that even though Jesus has overcome the devil, it's not that the devil's power is any less. And you shouldn't be so cocky as to think you're fine. You can handle stuff without God. But God is so good that He has provided everything you need. That is more powerful than the devil, more powerful than all of his schemes, but you are going to have to trust him, and you're always going to have to trust him.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that he says in all circumstances, because it means, I think it means, it's not just in bad circumstances that we have to trust God. It's also in the good circumstances we have to trust God, which is probably where I might be tempted to put a shield down and go, I think I can do this.
Isn't that the picture from Genesis, right? In Eden, there they are. I mean, how good is that? And what comes is like, well, why don't you? Did God really say that? Can He really be trusted? But you'll get a better deal if you know. So that's exactly in this blissful, perfect union with God is where the first shield goes down, right? First trust is lost.
Very good.
And so I think you're exactly right. The call to trust in all circumstances is one that's needed, not just when we're in difficult times, and sometimes that's a bit, it kind of pushes us in difficult times, we kind of get pushed. Oh, I've got nothing left. Maybe I'll try God this time.
Yeah.
We're in the best of circumstances, it's way easier just to go, oh, okay. I'll just carry on with my plans.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Mm. That's cool. Have you, either of you seen the movie 300?
Yeah.
It's not my favorite, but yes.
I think I'm pretty sure in there's like they almost what I think Josh was saying with asterisk and oblix before, how they'd use their shields as well is they'd use it to come together and then press forward.
Mm.
Is there anything we can draw from that? Because that's what I'm thinking again is like, a shield of faith. Like, I don't know if they did that with the Romans, so it might be trying to, like, extrapolate more than what's there. Mm. But it's like we can actually band together and move forward in unity with our shields. Like, they enable us to do that.
Mm.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, those moments are when there's just – you always see the kind of – 1,000 arrows coming over the horizon and they all band together like that. I think those arrows are coming. I'm just wondering what those arrows look like. So sure, we do them together, but how do we do that together? I think it's again through words, in the sense that the flaming darts come. I'm thinking of James where he says, you know, the tongue's a restless evil, which actually we can it's set on fire by hell, James says. I'm just wondering if there's some kind of link just in the way we speak, and often even the way the devil comes at us is through words, through lies. That's what happened in the garden, right? Like, don't trust God. So the call to abandon faith often comes through words. So I think the way in which we help each other is by disarming those lies. You know, if you hear something that's not true, you speak, you say, hey, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's really true. So it takes courage to do that. So I think helping each other is, it's when we look, when I'm thinking about how does it work, I'm thinking the space I see it mostly is in the way we speak and protect each other through words, I think.
It's beautiful.
I don't know if you have any thoughts, Mark, on how that works.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I've got a few thoughts. I think, you know, again, it's there's a context in all circumstances, so it's good to remind ourselves that the devil doesn't create unusual circumstances, because those would be easy to see.
Yeah,
it's in all. Let's just add the word usual. In all usual circumstances, yeah, or in all circumstances,
yeah.
Beware of the flaming darts. So it's like in everyday life, flaming darts are going to be coming. And like Josh has said, it may be lies, it may be deceptions, it may be disappointments, it may be, you know, mispromotion at work. It may be, like, it could be any, the devil could use any moment to throw in a flaming dart that would diminish our relationship with God and our effectiveness for God in the, like, not living the life God has called us to. And I like what Josh is saying of the way that we stand together. Because we hear this as individuals, right? Because of our individualistic society. So we hear of like my shield, your shield, Josh's shield. And Paul's talking to them in plurality in a picture that they'd understand, as you've both already said, of like, yeah, the shield might help me, but the shield helps us as well.
Yeah.
And the soldiers weren't allowed to, they weren't promoted, they weren't allowed to go to battle until they knew how to walk as a wall.
Right.
Until they knew how to stand together under their shields. It's called, I think it's called like a titulus or something like that. Yeah. It's a word similar to that, that actual shape that they create with the shields. And they weren't ready for battle until they could move together.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I think, you know, when someone's believing a lie, we put up the shields together with words, reminding them of the truths of God. And Eve almost did that in the garden, right? When she's like, yeah, God did say, and then the enemy had another go and she's like, ah, oh, yeah, and she just threw the shield away.
It is pretty amazing to think how we've been created to depend on one another. So it's that image, like, of the body. If one area of the body is suffering, then we all suffer. If one person has their shield down, then there's the potential that, like, we may be injured as a result or affected as a result. So... It's a pretty amazing picture to think, like what you're saying, that they had to be trained in how to band together, whatever that formation is, and then before they could actually enter into battle.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like what Mark's also talking about the usual circumstances, because even Eve's temptation was, she saw that the fruit was delicious and good to eat, but she then said, she saw that it was good for gaining wisdom. So you'll be like God. I'll get what I want. I'll be free of God's wisdom.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to use my wisdom. So it's a similar, it's not like you're saying just scary, you know, scary situations, but it's situations where we go, flaming darts, I think, can also look like you're describing, that it's, this will be the best for me. Or let me be free from the wisdom of God, which often comes to us through others. So let me be free of all that. Let me break rank. Let me escape, and then you're vulnerable. Yeah. So I think it's very true that it's not just flaming doubts. Mostly it can look like, you know, cuddly puppies sometimes.
gotta watch those puppies.
Yeah, gotta watch
on
them.
Fire.
Their eyes are deceptive. So just in closing, then, what's a thought or an encouragement that either of you could leave us with? Going into the week ahead.
I think a great question could be, am I trusting God in all circumstances? So I think just thinking through that, like, have I have faith? Am I trusting God, or am I plodding through unhindered by God's ways, his thought, his presence on this thing. I wonder also if faith is, how is that a current thing? All these, when he says put on these things, it's not like, oh yeah, I had faith in Jesus 10 years ago, but what does it look like today? What am I trusting God to to maybe not do or to do, whether it's a scary situation or a very peaceful, joyful situation. How am I trusting God? Is my shield of faith, in a sense, taken up?